Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. You know, we'll wish for this in December and January, if we could just take about 15 degrees and plop it onto that coldest day in January. Steve and Jack have some great things planned for us musically. I'll let you know in advance, the closing hymn this morning is one of my two favorite hymns of all time. And I'll give you another little hint. This is not the proper posture to sing it. All you need to know. Unfortunately, some sad news to share this morning. Stella Woodhouse passed away early this week after a battle with cancer. At this point, I talked to her son. They're not going to have an immediate funeral service. They are planning in the next several weeks, maybe months, to have a celebration of life. So please keep Stella and her family in your prayers this day. Moment of silence, and then we continue with our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we do not lose the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of Colossians. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. The word of the Lord.
Understanding.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You will notice today that I normally preach without notes. I have a note. I got to remember some names. Not good with remembering names. As most of you know, but just so that everybody's on the same page, my entire life has been in communication. I started announcing horse races when I was 12 years old. Every weekend I did PA at hockey games. I went on to Fanshawe, took radio. I spent 15 years working in Kapuskasing, Sarnia, Calgary, and Saskatoon. Then I went into ministry, which is at its root about communication. I know many brilliant pastors who have problems communicating. And then some of them like me that are kind of, but know how to communicate, get along better. So a couple of weeks ago, I recorded the first of what will be a series of videos on the diocesan website. I'm not sure whether it's posted yet or not, about communication. I get to do the introductory one, and then other people are going to add parts on various things as we go along. What has always been unbroken for me is the understanding that communication is simple. I tell you my story, you tell me your story. If we listen and hear and understand what each other has said, we have communicated. And that's the most important thing in communication. If we have both shared and listened. Most people are really good at telling you, "This is what I think." And all the time you're responding, they're thinking of what their next opinion is. That's not communication. You can take all the technology in the world that you want. If you can't tell your story successfully, if you can't listen to one another, you still will not have communication. It really is that simple and that difficult. That understanding flows into today's gospel reading and flows into so many things that are going on in the world that I'm going to use that as my premise and touch on a few things and then give you my conclusion. The first step in preaching for me every week is to go to a preaching site called workingpreacher.com. I would encourage you to go and check it out. It's a Lutheran site. What they do is they have commentary on all the readings for each Sunday. And they have a wide and vast variety of people from various churches, educational institutions that write the commentary. So the commentary today on the gospel reading was written by the Reverend Naveen Saras, the rector of a Lutheran church in Washoe, Wisconsin. The most important thing is that she is Palestinian by birth. And she understands the politics and culture of the Middle East both today and has studied it back through the years to the time of Jesus. She offered an insight that in almost 30 years of either education or ministry, I've never heard about Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. So just to go back and check, the Lord's Prayer is found in Luke and Matthew. They have some differences in the way they are written. The thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever was added by a council of the church a couple hundred years later. What she said that got me thinking is that Matthew's version, which contains one of the two parables that we heard afterwards, was designed to reach Jewish understanding, Jewish listeners. Whereas Luke was always telling the story for Gentiles. So she says that the most important thing in Luke is that he is working hard to ensure that people understand the reference to Father. For different reasons, just like today where people in church quite often have a problem with gender-specific pronouns, in Jesus' time, especially amongst Gentiles, the word Father conjured up, according to Naveen, some different understandings where fathers were absolutely powerful and fathers could do some things that would be rather difficult for their children to receive and understand, including things like selling them into slavery. So she suggests that what Luke is trying to do here is to help Gentiles who are learning this thing called Christianity for the first time to understand that Father is not a negative, but rather a positive in their relationship. The Jewish understanding, again, a patriarchal society, deep relationships with fathers would have great understanding of the use of that term. Thus, the two parables, both of which, in Luke's context, are designed to show and understand that the father, in each case, would always give to the child. That they could understand the relationship with God the Father as a loving relationship that would help them through their lives as Christians. They may have to be perseverant, they may have to pray a lot, they may have to ask quite frequently, but the God that they were being shown in Jesus was one that would love them. That whole understanding, that dichotomy, works into all parts of our life today. So I decided to go from that, which was a little bit heavier, into something a little bit lighter. I happened to stumble upon, and you don't want to know how, I love watching spiritually based YouTube videos. So I found one this week, a TED Talk by David Ellis Dickerson. Y'all know him, right? Not. His claim to fame is that he was one of the people who wrote the questions for the American Bible Challenge. Remember that short-lived three-season show that Jeff Foxworthy hosted? It was a great success in the southern United States. He talked about the limitations that were placed on them by the producers. And he showed a handwritten chart that he did himself and had all the books of the Bible. And as he scrolled down, stroking this book of the Bible off, no, we can't do this. They're down to about five books of the Bible that they were able to use for the trivia questions because they had to fit the understanding of the audience they were targeting. But when you search videos, you find this one, and the next one makes you stop and think. So basically, Dickerson at the end said that, went to the point of saying that they were lying to the American people in crafting those questions because they were so limited and avoided anything that was controversial. So the next video I find is one of Jeff Foxworthy communicating the gospel with a story. Gee, who talks about telling stories? I'll give you the short version. Jeff Foxworthy, apparently for many years, has volunteered at a homeless shelter. And he ran into a gentleman by the name of Wayne, who, when his mother died, had inherited some money, and off he went to spend it with all kinds of ne'er-do-wells, etc., etc., and become addicted, lost his house, lost everything, including his mother's Bible, in which she had written how much she loved him on the front cover. So, a few years later, Wayne got his life back together and was sober, living in an apartment, struggling to find work, and got a job cleaning out an apartment building. He and another guy went to this apartment building to basically pick up the junk and sweep the floors and wash the walls, and they worked for a couple of days, and the other guy came and had this pile of stuff he wanted to take home with him. And Wayne looked and saw something that looked familiar. He said, "Can I see this?" He opened the Bible, and there was the dedication of his mother. And he took it home. So therein again, you have that dichotomy of we can say and do things in the name of religion that can take us away from the understanding, or we couch it in not wanting to be open and honest about it. But you cannot turn away from a story like that. So let us think about some of the things that have happened in the world. One night this week, I sat down to watch for 10 minutes the hearings in the United States. 2.5 hours later, I was still watching. But what really struck me, because I'm looking for a sermon at this time, what really struck me is that all of the testimony serves a purpose, a multi-layered purpose, and one of those purposes is power, is to make the other guy look bad. There's a lot of truth. Don't get me wrong, I'm not defending anybody. I'm looking at it in a different way. But there was a Republican, and I watched this on a CNN video the next day, a Republican official who was very critical of Donald Trump, but then the commentator, it goes back to my media days, asked him a very pointed question. If in 2024, Donald Trump is your nominee, will you vote for him? And he immediately flipped the script and said all the terrible things the Democrats have done and how the Democrats had ruined the country. And the commentator brought him back again to say, will you vote for him? And he tried 3 or 4 times again to go around the question and then eventually very quietly said yes. Now, that's not to pick on Republicans, because there are Democrats that are basically saying the same thing. Because in our society today, and this is the point that I want to get to, we are becoming more and more divided ideologically. It's becoming to the point, and you've probably all experienced this if you're on the Facebook. Now, my kids will tell me, you aren't still on Facebook. Nobody goes on Facebook anymore. Well, I haven't got to TikTok and those other things, but I'm told they're exactly the same. If you go on to somebody's page and write a critique of something that they've all said yay, yay, yay to, it will suddenly turn into a personal attack on you. And if I'm honest, I'll take this on myself. When I get into the right group of people, and we're talking about the right subject, and I want to make a point, I'm not afraid to throw somebody else under the bus. And that's wrong. We all do it. From a communication standpoint, from a media standpoint, from an ideological standpoint in our world, we are coming to a place where we are divided. And several of the commentators on the hearings in the U.S. It's always safer to talk about what's going on there. We could talk about what's going on politically here, but that might get a little personal. But there were several commentators that used the word violence as having happened and likely to happen again. And as long as we continue these ideologies where you're either for it or against it, we're in trouble. And I would say and invite you to think about the fact that God does not have different ideologies. God wants us all to be one at all times. God wants us to put in the hard work that will allow us to communicate with one another. And that's really hard, because we all like to have a group of people around that we all think the same and we can all go along swimmingly. But let's take an issue that is probably worth looking at, as some of our folks are perhaps on their way already or are going to the Pride Parade today. Most of the people who are sitting here remember well a time where pride would have been, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. And it's only because we were willing to talk, sometimes very difficultly. I went to General Synod in 2007 as a media person, and for 2.5 hours, one person got up and said, I'm for it, and the other person got up and said, I'm against it. And then we went, I'm for it, and then I'm against it. And that went on for 2.5 hours, and nobody heard a word that the other person said. But over time, we have had some difficult, meaningful conversations that have put us in a place where, in this country, all are accepted. Yet our episcopal leaders, our bishops, are now gathering in Lambeth with a large contingent of African bishops boycotting over one issue, the church's position on homosexuality. So that voice will not be heard in the discussion. But there's already bishops who are online for and against, and there's already motions being proposed that would take us right and left of where we are. Can we count on our leaders to put away the rhetoric and have an open, honest conversation? There are many bishops that are having those conversations, formally and informally. But the world doesn't change unless we communicate, unless we talk, unless we listen. Which leads me to my conclusion. Hopefully all of this will send you off to think about things and understand where we have been, because we have been a lot of places. I will say, pretty much unconditionally, that God does not change. That God is the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, as God always has been. But on the other side of that is the fact that society and human beings have changed. Stop and think about the things that we have seen in our lifetime. The first computer I saw was half the size of the sanctuary. I had to key punch 100 cards to get the computer to type out the numbers 1 to 100. And of course, I couldn't type, so they always came back, error, error, error. We have gone, in the issue that I talked about, from being adamantly against homosexuality to welcoming gays and lesbians amongst us. We have gone from an era where, on a hot summer day, the men would be wearing suit jackets and ties. Shorts would not be allowed. Oh, I guess there's a holdover. Some clergy still, for some reason, put on their vestments. I'm trying to take a variety of little things that have changed. We say we're more inclusive, but the incidents of hate and violence have increased dramatically. So the loving, caring God that sent us Jesus Christ, that is the same today, tomorrow, and always as yesterday, wants to be in communication with God's people. And more importantly, wants God's people to be in communication with each other. So the hardest thing we have to do is to sit down and talk with people whom we disagree with, to ensure that relationships are more important than opinions, to understand that a journey can bring a solution if we have the patience, if we have the ambition, the energy, and the willingness to follow the God who says, I created you to love you. I created you to love God. That's the basis. That's where we come from. If we are to communicate with each other about anything, the most prominent word has to be love. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Let us pray to God, knowing we can trust him. We pray that as Christians we may take to heart the need to walk the talk and live out what we profess. We pray that nothing may get so important to us that it pushes God's values aside. Father, let only your will be done. We pray that those in authority and power do not lose touch with the needs of those they serve, so that the poor and oppressed and vulnerable are always given value and respect. Father, let only your will be done. We pray for those in our families whom we love and have hurt or upset. We pray, too, for those who have hurt or upset us, and ask for God's reconciliation and healing. Father, let only your will be done. We pray for those who have lost hope of being rescued, noticed, or valued. For the complacent who cannot see their poverty, for the prejudiced who mistake blindness for sight. Father, let only your will be done. We pray for our loved ones who have reached the moment of death, and thank you for the example of their lives. We commend them all to your safekeeping. Father, let only your will be done. We give you thanks, Lord God, for the hope and encouragement you give us on our journey of faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast. God is steadfast in love. God is infinite. God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. God of grace, accept all we offer you this day as we look toward the glory you have promised. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Live in us that we may live in you. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us thy peace. Quickly through our communion protocol, as people return to the church, I want to make sure everybody's comfortable. Both bread and wine are available. There are many who are not yet comfortable receiving from the common cup. You are welcome to receive in only one kind. The bread will be administered on this side. You can stand or kneel. The wine on this side, you can stand or kneel. We do have a gluten-free option if you wish. Just let us know when you come up to receive the bread. And if you would prefer to receive a blessing instead of communion, just cross your arms like this, and we will be happy to give you a blessing. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would like to volunteer to be the chalice bearer? I would appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah. Journey.
us to walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me. When my heart is almost breaking, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm in trouble,
Let us pray. God of grace, we have received the memorial of the death and resurrection of your Son. May your love poured into us bring us to your promises. We ask this in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. There is cold lemonade after the service. It will either be in the garden, which I think is where it is, unless it's raining, and then it'll be in the parish hall, but you'll be able to find it, one or the other. Be happy to have you stay for a little bit and converse with your fellow parishioners. Next Sunday, Hannah Scorer is here to preach and celebrate, and I'll be kind of hanging around, but it will be good to have Hannah back. She's back from vacation as of today, so you might see her around. She's at Oneida today. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Wade in the water, wade in the water.
host all dressed in white. God's gonna trouble the water. The leader looks like the Israelite. God's gonna trouble the water. That band all dressed in red, God's gonna trouble the water. Looks like the band that Moses led, God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water, listen to me now, wade in the water. Trouble the water. Look over yonder, what do I see? God's gonna trouble the water. The Holy Ghost are coming on me. God's gonna trouble the water. Okay, wait in the water. Wait in the water, now children, in the water, God's gonna trouble the water. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, God's gonna trouble the water. Just follow me down to Jordan Stream. Oh, God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water. Children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water now. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. I said, now God's gonna trouble the water. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. If I look, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Live low, before I do, coming for to carry me home. Oh, tell all my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I said, coming for to carry me home.
Nice job, man.